All right, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. Tonight, I really don't know what the number of this Coin 8 class is, but I do know that it's September 28, 2015. And we're continuing studying the Koine Greek verb system. And tonight, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that through the Holy Spirit, that the new man, that the Holy Spirit, that in fact is the new man, might be enlightened by the study of this Koine Greek. We know the New Testament originally was written in the Koine Greek, and we are about to learn of it so that we can more fully understand the awesome beauty of your precious word, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray this through your dearly beloved Son, of which you have chosen us in him before the kata bale of the world. And we're truly thankful for our lives here. In fact, because of this brief time here on this planet, we are learning of your awesomeness and the many aspects of the work of your Son. We thank you for that, and we pray for energy in our lives and zeal in our lives for the study of your word, so that we might not be unashamed, or so that we might be unashamed workmen, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen. All right, so we're continuing on in the Koine Greek verb system, and tonight it's important for all of us to have these four books, okay? So, we need to have the Greek text of Dr. Black. We need to have the Greek lexicon of the Freibergs. We need to have the Green's interlinear. And then we need to have the analytical Greek New Testament that was also put out by the Freibergs. Does everybody have these four texts? You have to give me another why. Okay. Not the last one. Okay. The last one is something that it's called the Analytical Greek New Testament, and it's by Barb and Timothy Freiberg. Okay, and it's published by Baker, B-A-K-E-R, and you can get this, I believe, a copy of this at Amazon.com. And what's really important, you have to get this. And the reason why that you have to get this is because it is the complete New Testament in Greek. No English at all. But below each Greek form, it has the analytical tag. That is to say, every Greek form in the New Testament is in this book, and below it, it tells you what it is, whether it's a noun, an adjective, a preposition, a verb, or whatever. You need, if you are going to be a good student of the Word of God, and you want to cut out a lot of time and a lot of work that's already been done, you need to get this text. Okay, sometime, I'll type this in at the end. All right, I'll type the name of this at the end. You can probably get it new or used. It's published by the Baker Bookhouse of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Well, let me just type it in right now then, because this is very important. Okay, hold on. This is a text that you guys need to get. You've got to get this text because, well, you'll see as we go on. You get this text and it'll have the analytical tags below every form of the Greek New Testament. And so, therefore, you'll be able to look at the New Testament in Greek. And every form below it, you'll know what it is. You'll know whether it's a noun, a verb, a preposition, an adjective, or whatever. So you need to get this, okay? Seriously. And this is what I use to help me along in putting together these lessons and studying the Word of God. So you need to get it. All right. So having said that, we do have, all of us do have the Green's Interlinear. We have the Freiburg of the Lexicon, and we have the Black's text. So going back to what we've learned already about the Koine Greek verb system, and what I'd like to do, what I'd like you to do, is you take your analytical lexicon, take your Greek lexicon by Freiberman Miller, and open it up to page 17. Will you do that? Open it up to page 17. Page 17 in your lexicon. And are all of you there? Okay, what you're going to be seeing there is this chart, okay? You're going to be seeing this chart on the breakdown of the Koine in its component parts, whether it be a noun, a verb, an adjective, a determiner, which is the article, a preposition, conjunction, or particle. And you can see that we're tackling the Koine Greek verb system, which is the most involved system of the Koine Greek. You understand that. You see that. And you'll notice that we learned that the Koine Greek verb system has this. It has three persons, first, second, and third person. It has two numbers. It has singular and plural. It has five moods. Actually, it has seven moods, but we're only concentrating on four. All right, but as things get more complicated, it actually has seven moods. Okay? And it has three voices, but actually, if you look in the fourth column of the verbs there, you'll notice that it has seven voices. But we actually are only going to, it has three major voices, which we learned about, the present, the middle, and the passive. But it also has middle or passive, middle deponent, passive deponent, middle or passive deponent. We're not worried about that right now, okay? You can see that. All right, and now you go back, a line, and you'll see what we're going to work on tonight is the tenses. And there are seven tenses. Can you see that? Present, imperfect, future, aorist, perfect, and pluperfect. And it also has future perfect. And we'll notice that the future perfect is left out for a reason. All right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It actually has seven. But the future perfect tense might never be used in the New Testament, by the way. And we'll see that tonight. So in fact, and getting a little bit ahead of myself, the pluperfect tense is rarely used in the New Testament. And so if we turn back to our little text, our Black's text, on page 13. Okay? Turn back to Dr. Black's text. And so, so far, we at least have a idea of person, of number, of mood and voice, right? We went over this in subsequent lessons and fairly thoroughly. And you can go back to that. This Koine Greek is a lifetime study. It's not something, believe me, it's not something that you're going to learn in 6 months and then you're going to throw all your books away and have it locked in your brain. No way. This is going to, you're involved like you are in the study of God's Word. You are going to be involved in the study of Koine Greek for the rest of your lives on this planet. Believe me. And so, when we go back to Dr. Black's text on page 13, we see in subsection 15, tense, and it states, in addition to mood and voice, a Koine Greek verb is also said to have tense. The tenses in the Koine Greek are present tense, the future tense, the imperfect tense, the aorist tense, the perfect tense, the pluperfect tense, and the future perfect tense. Okay? Turning the page, page 14 in the text, it goes on to say the present, future, perfect, and future perfect tenses are sometimes called primary or principal tenses, while the imperfect, the aorist, and the pluperfect are sometimes called secondary or historical tenses. In the indicative mood, the usual English equivalents of these tenses are as follows. And then we see a breakdown in the gray box as to the explanation of these tenses. And you know, and whether or not you have to memorize what tenses are principal and what are historical, that's just, you know, if you're a brilliant mind, okay, you can lock that in your brain. But let's look at these tenses, okay? To get, this is really important, by the way. This is getting into these tenses. We're going to be here for a while. We're going to get into the interlinear. We're going to look at actual scriptures. We're going to look at actual verbs. We're going to look at all these tenses, except one, which I couldn't find, which is the future perfect tense. We're going to look at, tonight, we're going to look at the definition of what these are, all right? And these all have to do with the Word of God. And so, again, rather than this being a labor of a laborious endeavor, it should be a labor of love, because you're learning the language that God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, by the way, is God. You know, I mean, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit a lot, but He is God also. He is one of the persons of the Godhead. And so, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, used the Koine Greek to put forth the precious, precious Word of God. And if we keep that in mind, I think that'll give us the zeal to study this language. And it's not easy, but that's okay. Nothing great comes easy. And so, we look in the in this gray box here, this defined gray box, and we see these tenses. And it uses the word love here. And some of these are pretty straightforward, a couple of them. Present tense, I love. The future tense, well, I will love. That makes sense. The imperfect tense is I was loving. The aorist tense is I loved. The perfect tense is I have loved. The pluperfect tense is I had loved. And the future perfect tense is I will have loved. Now, I created a little ditty myself because I created a little ditty for the imperfect, pluperfect, and perfect tense. Because I think that the present tense, you can understand. The future tense, well, it's I will do something. That's in the future. And the aorist tense is a tense that can be easily kind of understood on its own when we read the definition of it. And so this is my ditty, all right? You might want to write this down, and you might think it's dumb, but this is how I remember the imperfect, pluperfect, and perfect tenses. This is what I wrote. I was imperfect and had been pluperfect, but I have been made perfect through the blood of Christ Jesus my Lord. All right, and what does that mean? Well, I was imperfect. Okay, and you look at the imperfect and it says, I was loving. So, I was imperfect. So, was is associated with the imperfect tense. I was imperfect and had been pluperfect. And if you look at the pluperfect tense, it's I had loved. All right, so had is associated with the pluperfect. But I have been made perfect. And you notice that perfect has to do with the word have. I have loved. I have been made perfect through the blood of Christ Jesus my Lord. So I was imperfect. Imperfect has to do with was. I was loving, for an example. And had been pluperfect. Had has to do with pluperfect. I had loved. But I have been made. Have has to do with the perfect tense. I have loved. I have been made perfect through the blood of Christ Jesus my Lord. So, that little ditty that I personally made up for myself helps me keep these three tenses in order. And then aorist, future, and present, I can just store that in my brain. Now, did that make sense to you? You have to give me a Y or an N on that. Did what I just say make sense to you? Okay, very good. Very good. And so that's how, because you're like looking at this chart, and you're like, and then I can probably say to you that the future perfect tense, you can eliminate that. And you're going to see why, okay? You're going to see why that is. And so, having said that, with the ditty and with our brains, we can understand the six tenses that are used in the Greek New Testament. Furthermore, the pluperfect tense is rarely used. And so, when it comes right down to it, you really have to know five tenses, importantly. The present, future, imperfect, aorist, and perfect tenses. The pluperfect is rarely used. So, now, let's turn back to your lexicon, and let's look at, so you can understand what these tenses mean, all right? The better. Okay, so you take your lexicon and you turn to the back of your lexicon. Turn to the back of your lexicon, your Freiburg lexicon on page 431. Go back there. I'll give you a minute and then you tell me, give me a Y if you're back there. Sorry we have to do this. I could just ask you to raise your hand if I saw you. You know, but this way I know that you are where I'm at. Hey, Dr. Lowe, are you with us? Very good. Thank you. Thanks very much. I'm not getting on your case. Just I want everybody to see this. Okay, you go to page 437. We're going to look at the definition of these tenses, and they're found here. Okay? The present tense, and that's found on page 437. And we're just gonna go over this so I can verbalize this to you, and then you can study this on your own. You can say to yourself, well, I could look this up myself, but you know, this is a verbalization of something that we have to really know about, all right? The present tense and the definition, a set of verb forms that indicate, and these specifically the first five of them we gotta get into our brains, all right? The present tense, a set of verb forms that indicate that at the time of the discourse, of the action in the verb at the time of the discourse of the discourse, the action in the verb was continuing or being repeated. That's the present tense. At the time of the discourse, the action in the verb, the action, was continuing or it was being repeated. An example of that, or examples are, I am watching what my brother is doing. Alright? Watching and doing are in the present tense. Again, a set of verb forms that indicate that at the time of the discourse, the action in the verb was continuing or being repeated. I am watching what my brother is doing. And I recommend that you keep a notebook, and I recommend that you write these down. I recommend that you write these definitions down in a notebook. Moving on to page 434, the future tense. It's on page 434 in the left-hand column. The future tense is a set of verb forms that indicate that at the time of the discourse, the action in the verb was incomplete or continuing in the past. Alright? It's not continuing now or being repeated. It's incomplete or it's continuing in the past. That's the future tense. An example of that. Well, is there an example of that? Oh, wait a minute. I just read the you lost me. I'm sorry. I just read the definition of the imperfect tense. I made a mistake. Go to page 434 again. Sorry, Jan, I made a mistake. I read the definition of the next tense. Are you guys, okay, the future tense. It's on page 434. Okay? Sorry. Are you on page 434? Just give me a Y. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, just scratch the last 2 minutes of the recording. The future tense is a set of verb forms that indicate that at the time of the discourse, the action in the verb had not yet happened. The action was still to come. All right, and they don't give an example of that, but I'll read that again. Now, we read in the present tense, the action in the verb was continuing or being repeated. In the future tense, the action had not yet happened. The action was still yet to come. The future tense, okay? So, you have to write this down, and you have to get this in your mind. Present tense, future tense, and now go to page 434, the imperfect tense. Alright? The imperfect tense. That's on page 434 in the right-hand column. The imperfect tense is a set of verb forms that indicate that at the time of the discourse, the action in the verb was incomplete, imperfect, or continuing in the past. Okay, the example of this would be, we were walking along the seashore. The action in the verb was incomplete, or it was continuing in the past. That makes sense, because continuing in the past, the example was we were walking along the seashore. That tells that it's an action that's continuing, but it's an action that was done that was being done in the past, the imperfect tense. And I think that when you have to combine the definition with like the tense, imperfect tense, continuing in the past. Future tense, the action is still yet to come. Present tense, it's continuing now or being repeated now. Okay? And, you know, if you're first getting a taste of this right now, it might seem a little overwhelming, but I think that we can all understand this as we go on. The aorist tense on page 431. Turn to page 431. The aorist tense, by the way, as far as our calling to the right hand of the Father in the dispensation, knowing the dispensation of the mystery, aorist tense verbs are used a lot. They're used a lot, and they're used a lot for a godly reason. And we're going to read the definition of the aorist tense, and we're going to understand why God the Holy Spirit used aorist tense words a lot in our calling. All right? So, aorist tense, very important to understand about your calling to the mystery. Very important. The aorist tense, a set of verb forms that indicate that the action in the verb has been completed without implying continuance or duration of time. When used in the historical contents, the aorist tense indicates an action completed in past time. An example, the people built a harbor where the river flows into the sea. Now, if we read the definition of the aorist tense again, a set of verb forms that indicate that the action in the verb has been completed without implying continuous or duration of time. It indicates a completed action in past time. Well, think about things like this. We were predestinated before the katabale, preordained, chosen out, predestinated. All of such forms you'll find are in the aorist tense because they're a once and for all thing. And what does that do for you and me? What that does for you and me is that gives us a solidarity of trust in our God. Because in fact, we were preordained in the aorist tense once and for all. Okay, does that hit your mind and heart? You were chosen out before the katabale in Him once and for all. Maybe even before anything was created. And if you understand that, yeah, amen. I mean, seriously, if you understand that, that is what the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that God the Holy Spirit is sealing you with, that will bring you extreme confidence no matter what you face. Seriously. Nothing can touch that. Nothing can touch such a gift. Nothing. And so, when you are at the lowest points in your life, or in your mind, or in the battle, you can know for sure that God the Holy Spirit has written the Holy Word of God coming from the Triune God, that you are foreordained in the aorist tense, a once and final act, saints. Okay? And so, what keeps our minds from the knowledge of that is either our old man, or the wicked one, or both. That's what the warfare is about. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Alright, so we have a special sealing, and as a matter of fact, the armor in Ephesians 6 is a special armor. It's unique to the mystery. Alright? And so, aorist tense, big. You'll find that in studying the prison epistles that you're going to be running into the aorist tense time and time and time again. Okay, moving on to the perfect tense, page 436 in your lexicons. The perfect tense, 436 in your lexicons. It's in the right-hand column on page 46 of your lexicons. The perfect tense is a set of verb forms that indicate that the action in the verb was already completed when another action takes place. In the Koine Greek verb system, the perfect tense indicates that the effect of the action continues until the time of the discourse. And, you know, this one might be a little complicated, but let's read the example. The messenger hurried into the meeting house and shouted, "The chief has already arrived. He has arrived, and he is calling for you to come." The chief has already arrived is in the perfect tense, because it's a tense that indicates that the effect of the action continues until the time of the discourse. And so what I told you would be a good idea is you take a big sheet of paper, preferably, and you write at least six tenses, because, like I said, the future perfect tense, well, we'll find out. Okay, all right, so does that make sense to you so far? Does what we've done make sense? Give me a why. All right, great. Now we go to the pluperfect tense on page 437. And like I said, the pluperfect tense is rarely used in God's New Testament scriptures. Rarely, very rare to find it. And the pluperfect tense, by definition, is a set of verb forms that indicate that at the time of the discourse, the action in the verb had already been completed before another action took place. It's sometimes referred to as the past perfect tense. Again, it's rarely used. An example of that would be, the chief had already entered the village before the messenger came to announce his arrival. Okay, so unlike the perfect tense, this tense is where the discourse, the action of the verb, had already been completed. All right, and then what's interesting, if we look at for the definition, look for the definition of the future perfect tense back here. Okay, go ahead. Look for the definition of the future perfect tense. Are you looking? Should be found on page 434. Are you looking? Well, if you're looking, you're not going to find it, because it's not there. All right? And so what's interesting is that it's probably not used in the New Testament, and therefore the Freibergs never even put a definition for the future perfect tense. Okay, so that my statements are backed up by them in their lexicon. And so, getting back to the tenses, you learn the first five of them heavily. The present tense, the future tense, the imperfect tense, especially the aorist tense and the perfect tense, 5. And then the pluperfect tense is rarely used. So you don't really have to concentrate on that. And then the future perfect tense, we're just going to eliminate that totally. Okay? So what I recommend is that for these 6 tenses, you get out a big sheet of paper and you write down these definitions. You look at the examples of them and try to incorporate the tenses with the examples in your mind. And it will make sense. All right? So, we have 3 persons in the Greek verb system. 2 numbers, 5 moods, even though we concentrate on 4. 3 major voices, and we're going to concentrate pretty much on 5, maybe 6 tenses. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Great. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to turn to your interlinear, and we're going to look at 8 Koine Greek verb forms, and we're going to find out what tense they're in. All right? So turn to Matthew 16, verse 19, in your interlinears, your greens, interlinears. All right? And like I said, this is an opening to this, to the Koine Greek tenses. And I think that what we should do is we should, you know, maybe go over this a number of times in scriptures so that we get a feel for these tenses. All right, now, we have not learned really very much on how to identify, by looking at them, the Koine Greek verbs as to what tense they're in at all, or as to if they're in singular or plural form, you know. We have a little bit as to person, but, you know, that's something that's going to come later. I think that it's important to understand the guts of what we're learning, you know, the meat of what we're learning. And so, you know, with what you've learned already, you can use, like I said, you've got to get this analytical Greek New Testament. You got to get that. All of you do. That's listed above there by Freiberg and Freiberg, because what it'll do is it will enhance your ability to study the Koine Greek big time. Big time. Because you'll be, what you're going to be is you're going to be an amateur expert. Yes, you're going to have to trust in what the Freiberg's work was. But like I told you before, when they put out this publication, it's going to be analyzed by millions of Greek students around the world. All right? So, when they put out a text like this, these people are not putting these works out willy-nilly, because they have Greek minds from around the world coming down and analyzing their work. Think about it. All right? Does that make sense to you? They have scholars in the Greek analyzing their publications day after day. And so I would imagine, I never spoke to them. Eddie the Greek, by the way, knew them, knows them. He knows them personally. And he says that these people are dogged as far as their preciseness is concerned. All right? So then I can say that, can you trust the Freibergs in their analytical Greek New Testament? I can say, for the most part, I'd give it a big two thumbs up, okay? So you get that text, and you'll see, maybe next time we can all have that text, and then we can work with it. But for now, we turn to greens, interlinear. That's where you have the English, and you have the Greek. And you turn to Matthew 16, verse 19. Oh, yeah, Matthew 16, verse 19. Okay, and I'm going to try to read this in the Greek. Are all of you there? It's on page 54 of your greens. And you look down at the bottom, and it says, Kai doso soitas pleistes basileas ton uranon kai ha ian deses epites geis este dedamenon en tois uranois kai ha ian luces epites geis estai lelumenon en tois uranois. And what you're going to notice, well, what you cannot or might not notice is, and that's why you need the analytical Greek New Testament, you're going to have to take my word for it. And so if we go to the English rendering, if you go to the English rendering and you look at the left column and you see, or you could even go to the King James Version, and it opens, verse 19 of Matthew 16 opens and it says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give is the Greek form soso. I will give. And can we guess what tense that verb is in? Well, it's in the future tense. I will give you, thee, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind, or whatsoever you bind. And you bind is the Greek form deses. And you bind is in the aorist tense. Because it's an action that's done once and for all without the duration of time. Do you see what we're trying to accomplish here? It goes on to say, and whatever you bind, deses, on earth, shall be, and actually it's having been bound in heaven, or shall be bound in heaven. And that's the Greek verb form, dedumenon. And that's in the perfect tense. That's in the perfect tense. And if we look back at the definition of the perfect tense, it is a tense that indicates that the effect of the action continues until the time of the discourse. Now, I know that this may be a little bit much, but what I'm doing is I'm pointing out Greek verb forms and their tenses. All right? Okay, so I will give you. Give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give. That's in the future tense. And whosoever you bind is in the aorist tense. On earth, shall be bound, or having been bound, dedamenon, that's in the perfect tense. In heaven, and whatever you loose, luces. That's in the aorist tense again. Shall, having been loosed in heaven, or thou shalt, whatever thou loose on earth, that's in the aorist tense, shall be loosed in the heavens. That's in the perfect tense. And so you have, I will give you the keys, that's in the future tense. And then what do you have? You have a binding. You bind something, that was in the aorist tense. If you don't bind it, or having been bound, that's in the perfect tense. If you lose something, that's in the aorist tense, and therefore that is also loosed in the heavens. That's in the perfect tense. So even though this might be a bit confusing, you have an example there in Matthew 16 of the future tense, the aorist tense, and the perfect tense, and how they're used. All right? Did that make sense to you? Okay, and what you have to do is you have to, you know, with these verbs that I mentioned, doso, deses, the demonon, luces, luminon, you have to label them. Doso is in the future tense. You can put an F by it. Deses, is in the aorist tense. You can put an A by it. Dedumenon, you can put a P by it. That's in the perfect tense. Luces, that's in the aorist tense. And luminon, that's in the perfect tense. And what you can do is you can get a flavor of these tenses all in one verse there. All right? And you can get some knowledge of the Holy Spirit using these tenses. All right? And if nothing else, well, you're learning. We're all learning. We're all learning, and this is what it's going to be like. This is what it's going to be like as we go. But we're pushing on and we're pushing ahead, and it all does make sense. So let's turn to Luke 19. And we'll end with... Okay. We'll end with Luke 19. I know that Roger, you came in a little later, and so you might have to go back and listen to what we did. We're working with the tenses, as you can imagine, the Koine, in the Koine Greek verb system. And, we read over the definition of seven tenses. That's found in the back of your lexicon. And I'll just go over it for Roger and for Barney really quickly here. We're looking at the tenses. And if what has come to my understanding is that all of us, every one of us, has to have four books to go on in this. Four. We have to have the textbook by Dr. Black, the small book, Learn to Read the New Testament. We have to have the analytical lexicon of the Greek New Testament by the Freibergs. We have to have the Greens interlinear of the New Testament. And also, like I told the guys and gals earlier tonight, you have to get the analytical Greek New Testament by the Freibergs. All right, and the reason you'll see, okay, I cannot, what we're doing here is, complicated by the wire. It's complicated by not seeing you. It's complicated by me not being able to write things. you know, it's harder. It's harder doing this over the wire because I have to assume things of all of you. And so, okay, good. And so, I'm going to say this to all of you. As we go on, you have to have these four books. You have to invest in them. And even if you never join us again, it's going to make you a very, very good student of the Koine Greek. It'll allow you with a bit of knowledge to move about in the Koine pretty well, fairly well, pretty well. All right? And it'll give you beautiful understanding of the Word of God that you would have not have had without it, okay? Seriously, all right? These are what I use. I've been doing this for a bunch of years, and I've boiled it down that these are the best that I've ever found. You know, you can say, well, that's your opinion. Okay, so it's my opinion. But, you know, studying the Word of God is extremely important to me, and knowing it correctly is extremely important. That goes without saying. And so, I would behoove you that all of you get these texts, because then what I can do, it'll make all of our jobs that much easier. I can say, hey, go to the Analytical Greek. Bang, you can go there. Page 110, whammo, you're there. And we're all on the same page, so to speak, just like that. Okay? We have to do that. Otherwise it's going to be too messed up. All right, so, you know, I think that, I hope that all of you have the money. And, you know, I'm going to go out and search and see what's out there, too, as far as getting duplicates or whatever. So, let's turn to Luke 19, 32 and 33, verses 32 and 33, okay? Luke 19, verses 32. And 33. In your interlinear. Are you there? It's on page 256 of your Green's interlinear. Okay, and I'm going to attempt to read this in the Greek. Apelphantes. De hoi epistalmenoi uran kathos apen autois, pardon me. Luanton hoi auton ton polon apoi. Apon hoi kurioi atu pras atas. Ti luita tan polon. Okay, and if we look at that, we're going to look over three verbs. The English translation of that is, and they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners therefore said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And if we look back on page 256, you'll find at the beginning the form Apelphantes. And what this literally means is having gone, or they went their way. So, actually, the Koine reads they went their way first before it reads having been sent. Does that make sense to you? Because the Koine Greek can be written unlike the English. And so the first form that we're going to look at is the first form in verse 32 in the Greek, apelphantes. And what that literally means is having gone, or they went their way. And that's in the aorist tense, that verb form. And then it states, apelphantes dehoi apostolmenoi. And the apostolmenoi is literally means those having been sent. And that is in the perfect tense. So, you put an A by the apelphantes, and you put a P by the apostolmenoi. And then you look at the definitions of them. One is having gone, or they went their way, and the other one is those having been sent. You look at the tense they're in. The first one was in the aorist tense. The second one was in the perfect tense. And you match that up with the definition of those tenses. And you try to get an idea of the flavor of these tenses. Does that make sense to you? It goes on to say, and found even as they had said unto them, and as they were loosing the colt, which is the Greek form luanton, and the tense of luanton is the present tense. They were loosing the colt. Luanton is in the present tense. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners therefore said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And that is where we're going to end. Yes. Luke 19, 32 and 33 in the greens, right. That's what we just went over. We went over three verb forms. One in the aorist tense, one in the perfect tense, and one in the present tense. And so, I hope that we're going to stop now, and I hope that this start in the Koine Greek verb tenses made sense to you. All right? And like I said, we're going to spend some time in the verb section of the Koine Greek. And so we're going to pick this up next time, okay? And so I'm going to unlock the mic, and I'm going to just state that there are a number of things coming up. There is a conference coming up. I have to give a lesson on Tuesday night in about 3 weeks. And so I'm thinking that we're not going to have another class until November. November 16th is a Monday. How does that look to everybody? I mean, that's a piece away, but it'll give you time to look over what we've gone over so far and kind of get it down. All right? So I'm thinking about...
And that'll be a time change for Barney,
too. Oh, that'll be a time change. Okay, well, yeah, because we got a conference coming up. And I got three lessons I got to put together coming up, amongst other things. So I'm looking at Monday, November 16th. All right, and so I hope that, we're taking small steps, I know. But believe me, if we didn't hash this through, just to blow by it, we'd be lost. Probably. Okay? So I'm going to open up the mic to any questions you might have.